This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Obviously, it goes without saying that you can't go murder somebody, even if it seems quite justified. That's still against the law. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And the legal system has to do its thing, unless you want to put your own future and freedom in jeopardy, which appears to be what happened in this case. A man pled guilty to third-degree murder in a botched cover-up case. The victim's body burned. Here's the story. A Pennsylvania man, Derek Lauk, has entered a guilty plea for third-degree murder in the killing of his cousin, Tyler Mathai, last year. The incident involved a gruesome cover-up attempt, which included burning the victim's body with the assistance of his estranged girlfriend and another individual. The guilty plea was made in Bedford County Court and was accompanied by an admission of guilt for abuse of a corpse. According to the Pennsylvania Attorney General Michelle Henry's press release on Thursday, Derek Lauk not only confessed to fatally shooting Mathai on April 26, 2022, but also revealed his involvement in conspiring with two others to burn the victim's body and conceal the crime. Beyond pulling the trigger, the defendant orchestrated a scheme to obliterate the evidence. The victim's remains, Henry stated. The plea signifies an acknowledgement of responsibility for these heartless acts of violence and disregard for human life. Lauk's accomplice in the cover-up, Courtney S. Bowden, identified as the estranged girlfriend of the victim, received a sentence of 2.5 to 12 years in prison after admitting her involvement in burning the body and attempting to cover up the crime. Another individual, Jordan Robertson, has also pled guilty and awaits sentencing. The events unfolded on April 26 of 2022, for context, when Lauk allegedly used an AR-15 rifle to shoot Mathai twice, claiming self-defense after Mathai entered his residence and forcefully took Bowden to a car waiting outside. Lauk then allegedly dragged Mathai's lifeless body to a hole in his yard, buried it under tires, doused it in kerosene, and ignited it, maintaining the fire for approximately 6 hours while he slept. According to Lauk, he and Bowden had a 7-year friendship since his relocation to Bedford County. The court documents revealed that Mathai and Bowden had a history of abusive behavior in their relationship. Lauk recounted that Mathai forcefully entered his home, took Bowden from the living room, and placed her in the backseat of her car. Lauk retrieved his AR-15 rifle and shot Mathai in the arm and subsequently in the back. He asserted that he verified Mathai's death by checking for a pulse on multiple occasions. Lauk then proceeded to bury Mathai's body in a makeshift grave on his property and set it ablaze with kerosene. Lauk disclosed that the fire burned for 6 hours while he slept, and the following morning, he covered the burnt remains with soil. Authorities were alerted to the situation by a relative who claimed that Bowden had mentioned Mathai's drug use and aggressive behavior that night. According to the relative's testimony, Bowden informed them that Lauk had warned Mathai to stop his violent behavior or face consequences, leading to Lauk allegedly shooting him. Bowden reportedly told the witnesses that she attempted to stem the bleeding, but Mathai overdosed and died. She confessed to disposing of the body and belongings in an undisclosed manner, obliterating all traces of the victim. She further attempted to cleanse bloodstains from a vehicle and sell the murder weapon. Lauk's plea agreement stipulates a prison term of 15 to 30 years. Sentencing is scheduled for September 22nd. Thoughts on that?
This is just one of those stories because, you know, it very well could have been an abusive situation, and that could have been really scary if he came in and drug her out of the house and put her in the backseat of the car. And maybe, you know, he was obviously friends with this woman and and went grabbed his gun to threaten him. You know, I could see how things could get out of control.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this happening quite easily to almost anyone that has a firearm and is concerned for the safety of a free female friend or any friend in general that's being drug out of the home by a man who enters your own domicile without permission.
But you know, at this point, that's what they say. So since he's dead, and at the very end, I don't get that then the guy overdosed somehow. So I don't know if she was making stuff up.
Oh, was he high? Did he come in all tweaked out, dragging this woman out of the house?
You know, that's a thing. Like, that could have happened. Or maybe he had been looking for her and he showed up and it wasn't that situation. I don't know. Because it's just their word is the only thing. But, you know, if she was abused, that goes back to what you and I seem to talk about every week. Like, what do you do for someone who's in an abusive relationship? How do you get out of it? How do you stop it?
Yeah.
Well, this was stopped.
Yeah. Only if she had that restraining order piece of paper to wave in his face, that would have, I'm sure, that would have stopped him from dragging her out of the house and throwing her into the backseat of the car. That would have stopped. Actually, you know what actually stopped him? The friend with a gun. That's what stopped him. And now the friend with a gun is the one that's going to be going away, as is she, for being seemingly persecuted by an abuser.
You know, that's the problem with this. There's no way that you can be protected.
Yeah.
If you're in an abusive relationship, and it's like there's no answers for you.
And if that's, and assuming that's what happened, assuming that exactly the way we laid it out is what happened, I don't know. According to the testimony that has been given, that does appear to be what has happened. And what the court seems to be accepting and making their judgments on is that story. And if that's the case, I still think that's really, I mean, it's sad. It's disturbing. You're punishing the people who were essentially trying to defend themselves. Because God knows, what happened if he drove away with her, all tweaked out, that he dragged her out of the home? Would she be dead? Or did the guy, the friend who came out and knocked off the abusive boyfriend, did that stop her from being murdered?
Right.
It's a big if, but granted, we can't just go and shoot people, but at the same point, we have nothing in place that effectively stops these fuckers either.
And that would have been a really scary situation if it did go down the way they said it did. He came in. I'm sure he was pissed off, drug her out, if that's the way it happened, drug her out. I could see if someone owned a gun, why you would grab your gun and go out to try to save her.
You know, I can't say, quite honestly, if I was in a similar situation and someone broke into my house and ripped a female out of it that I knew had an abusive boyfriend in the past, and she was like seeking safe harbor with some friends, and then this happened, that I wouldn't go out and shoot the guy too. I don't think it's that far of a cry that one wouldn't do this if that's the only way you're going to prevent the guy from stepping on the gas and driving away, kidnapping the woman who's avoiding them.
And then my guess is they all panicked.
Yeah.
What do we do? And let's bury him and try to cover this up. I get that.
That's where the crime ensues.
I don't know how you go to bed.
No,
I mean, while I'm tired.
That's where the crime ensues. If this had been reported immediately, God knows what could have happened. There would have certainly been an investigation done, but it may have ended in acquittals for the reasons that we just stated. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sad state of affairs in that.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.